Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And we got our good friend Brad Close back on the show. Brad is Manager of Legislative Affairs at the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. Now, the NFIB, ladies and gentlemen, is an organization. Let me tell you how long I've been telling you about the NFIB. The day I started broadcasting my show, November 17th, 1997, the first guest on the show that day was Cleta Mitchell, who was with the NFIB. That's how long I've been telling you about the NFIB. I've been a member of theirs, of the NFIB, for longer than that. And many, many of their representatives have been on the show. They do great work. They do a lot of hard work for you out there. And Brad's here to talk to us about some of the public policy issues that we're going to be looking at coming up in the new year. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's good to have you back. And thanks for all the hard work you're doing over there.
Thank you. You too. Our members listen to your show and they love it.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, Brad, we're going to talk about three primary things during our visit with Brad. We're going to talk about the health care bill, I'm calling it the so-called health care reform bill. And I'll explain that in a second. We're going to talk a little bit about the cap and trade issue. Brad's got a survey that they've conducted of their members to see what small business owners, their small business members think about the cap and trade legislation. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the pro-union card check bill a little bit later on as well. But first, Brad, healthcare. I'm calling it the so-called healthcare reform bill because it's not really about healthcare reform at this stage. The way it's structured right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we'd agree. It sure isn't designed to help small businesses lower their health care costs and get access to better health care. It's going to do the exact opposite, and our guys are the ones who need the most help.
Well, that's exactly right, and it also doesn't really solve the big issue that the proponents of this have been saying for 20 years, and that is to insure all Americans. It only cuts maybe in half the people who are uninsured right now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's probably an optimistic prediction.
Yeah.
You know, 10, 20 years out.
Yeah, exactly. It could take that long. And so where do you think we are in all this? I know that review for us a little bit of where this is, what stage is this that this legislation is in? Because believe it or not, Brad, most people outside of the Beltway have lives and they don't pay attention to every little wrinkle that the government does.
Which is a good thing, but
right, yeah.
Unfortunately, right now the government is trying to do some things that are not so good for the general public. This awful bill passed the Senate Christmas Eve. Quiet week for most folks out in America going
right.
About preparation for Christmas and the holidays, but the Senate stayed in that week and passed this bill. So we think there's a good chance this bill gets finalized by the end of January, maybe in time for the president in his State of the Union address.
That's gonna be what they'll push for, right?
We think so. You know, he's gonna want to make a big splash and have a big bill signing
in the
White House.
He thinks he needs that, doesn't he?
I think he thinks
he needs to be able to make that as part of his upbeat State of the Union speech.
Well, yeah, and if you look at some of the quotes and coming out of the administration since the Senate passed this bill, you know, they're comparing it to Social Security and Medicare and
yeah.
Talking about that this is the legislation that only comes around, you know, once in a generation. So the White House is trying to make a very big deal out of this legislation.
They're missing there's a disconnect though between with that description, that comparison, isn't there? Because
yeah.
Because this is all those legislations that they're trying to compare it to were accomplished with bipartisan support, wasn't it?
That's correct. They? That's a good point.
And this one is totally not bipartisan. It's totally all of the Democrats, isn't it?
That's right, and it was intended to be that way.
Yeah, and they own this. And one of the things that's disingenuous in the argument about this is that that there were no other proposals being offered. Well, Brad, I've been talking about health care reform. It was one of the very first public policy issues I covered on this show back in when I started in 97. I've been talking about health care reform. We've been, we tried to push through the NZ bill that would allow people to buy small businesses to buy across state lines.
Yep, and that bill would have done a great job for our members and would have cost a fraction of what this bill is going to cost the public.
If that could have passed, Brad, I believe this with all my heart. If that bill could have passed, what was that, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah,
if that could have passed, and it passed the House 8 times but didn't get through the Senate, I don't think we'd be even talking about this kind of a legislation right now. I think we'd be off to the races with real health care reform. Hold that thought. Brad Close is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Right back after these messages. A lot more to come. Happy New Year. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Brad Close is with us, folks. Brad is Manager of Legislative Affairs at the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. That's NFIB.com. Brad, we're talking about the so-called health care reform bill. I'm using that term, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not really about health care. It's all about politics now. What we're winding up with is nothing but politics, nothing but basically a political takeover attempt of 1/6 of our economy. Brad, I've been fighting this. My audience knows I'm not new to this debate. I've been talking about health care reform for 12 solid years, and I've been consistently against the government takeover, against anything that looked like a universal health plan or even the camel's nose under the tent on the way to that, which is what I think we're at, where we are right now. But you've identified some things in this bill that a lot of people might not know about. Tell us about it.
Well, I think there's one thing in there that the public has no idea.
Now, this is
done.
in the Senate version.
Yeah, but the Senate version is going to be either what goes to the White House or it's going to be look very closely to the Senate bill.
Right, because the House bill is so off the wall left that there are too many senators won't accept anything like that when they put them together.
Yeah, that's right. They got to have basically this bill, maybe a couple tweaks. That's the only way they get their 60-vote margin.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a specific clause in here that was inserted at the end to specifically target the construction industry. I mean, we're talking home builders, electricians, plumbers, your heating and air conditioning guys, all those folks. In this bill, every business who has less than 50 employees gets an exemption from being mandated to provide insurance, except the construction industry.
Hmm.
They're told that if they have 5 employees or more, they have to provide insurance for their employees, which
wow.
is just going to be a job killer. It's going to put these guys out of business.
Wow.
And this is in there just because the unions want it in there. It's
exactly.
Awful.
What we've got here, for example, the Family Medical Leave Act exempts anybody 50 employees, right?
That's right.
And there are other issues. The health care mandates that they're putting on, if you're less than 50 employees, you're not going to be mandated to have that. And of course, you and I both know that's just the starting point, Brad.
Oh, of course.
I mean, that's just where they're starting. That's part of the camel's nose under the tent I was talking about a minute ago.
That's right. You look at some of the quotes from folks who voted for this a week and a half ago, and they're all saying in the Senate, look, this is just the start. This is a down payment on what we want to do.
They're openly admitting that they're going to hold their nose and vote for something that's not as good as they wanted because they believe that they're going to be able to keep ratcheting down the overburdening on the marketplace with these mandates. So what you're saying is that they've carved out the construction industry is going to be hit with a 5-employee or more. Is it more than 5 employees?
Yep, more than 5 employees.
So if you've got 6 employees or more in your construction company or any company that's tied or associated with the construction industry, you're going to be mandated to provide health care.
That's right.
And this ties in with the cap and trade, with the card check bill that we're going to talk about in a little bit. So folks, this is the kind of nefarious stuff that they're working on in this bill, and what it does, Brad, is it tips their hand basically on what their real goals are in life.
You're exactly right. There is no good policy reason to do that to construction guys other than to make them hurt.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And to make them come to the table and negotiate for our organization.
Yep. And join a union. That's it.
Folks, welcome to the government takeover of your healthcare system. Brad, let's talk about, you guys did a survey. Let's change topics and go to the cap and trade, the carbon limiting Kyoto Accord, Copenhagen conference type of carbon legislation. It's commonly called cap and trade. They're going to cap the carbon emissions that you can have, and then allow you to trade in them. You can buy some from people who don't use their carbons. They're going to create a marketplace for that. They're basically going to commoditize carbon and make the government the owner of all the carbon. So Brad, you guys did a survey of your members. What did they tell you?
We did. Well, actually, you know what we did is we surveyed general small business owners. We kind of had an idea where our members were because we'd heard from them for 6 months that they hate this legislation.
Yeah.
We did a public poll of general public opinion and then of random small businesses, and they tracked almost identical. And it basically, they came down saying they do not want the federal government to impose a cap and trade system on them. They know it's going to drive their energy costs up, their gas, fuel, heating oil, all that stuff, and they just don't see any good coming out of it.
See, there are a couple of points here that are really important about this, Brad. Number one, the goal of the most ardent, like Al Gore, and the Kyoto standards would cause us to take our carbon emissions back to 1990 levels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brad, in 1990, our GDP was $6 trillion. Today, it's more than double that. So we're talking about doing carbon at $6 trillion with a growing economy. How are you going to do that without either hurting the economy directly by slowing it down or hurting it directly by charging the people who make the economy go more money for their energy?
You can't. I mean, cap and trade is going to hinder job growth and the economic recovery, and it's specifically going to hurt the folks who traditionally pull the country out of recession, which is small businesses.
That's right.
There's no way around it.
Well, and we don't have any extra bucks laying around to pay for more energy. Because
no, we don't. You know, our members tell us they can barely keep the doors open right now.
It cannot. Well, there's nowhere for the money to come from.
Right.
And we're already having trouble making a profit because we have no pricing power. We can't raise our prices right now. The discounts are everywhere. And so, folks, this is something. And when we come back, Brad and I are going to talk about the likelihood of that passing in 2010 and the likelihood of that union, that pro-union card check bill, right after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. Brad Close is with us. He's Manager of Legislative Affairs at the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business. Brad, tell us about the NFIB.
NFIB, we represent about 350,000 small business owners across the country, and our average size is about 10 employees. Every industry, you know, construction, home building, manufacturing, farming, we've been around since 1947, and we carry their concerns to Washington and all the state capitals.
Well, and they do it well, folks, and as you've heard me say before, I joined the NFIB. Brad, I think it was about 91.
You are one of our long-serving members.
When I joined, and I joined you before you got the reputation of having almost single-handedly killed with a few other folks the Hillary Care that was going on back in the 90s. Brad, let's talk to wrap up the cap and trade bill. I don't think that's going to pass in 2010. I think there's too many people who are against it on both sides of the aisle. But here's the other thing. If there are two things that aren't being discussed right now. Number one, carbon emissions should be connected to GDP output. See, that's something that that nobody will talk about but me. I'm the only person I've heard talk about this. You've got to talk about carbon emissions per dollar of GDP. And if you do that, if you put in the United States, if you do that calculation with the United States, our carbon emissions and our GDP, people will see that the United States has become a very efficient user of carbon. Now, you apply that to China and India, and they're off the scale. And so that's one thing. The other thing is, if the United States emitted no carbon, I don't think that would change the way if the planet is warming. I don't think what we do would change it that much.
Right.
Because all that production would go to China and India and other places like that, which would ramp up their inefficient use of carbon.
No, you're right. You're right.
What's the NFIB think? You think this thing is gonna pass in 2010?
Yeah, I think the votes in the Senate are now a lot harder to come by than they were last fall. Now that the health care bill has been rammed through the Senate, I think a lot of senators are going to be very scared to vote for another piece of legislation that's very politically unpopular. I think what we're concerned about, though, is, and you've already seen the administration come out and do this through the EPA, is that they're going to push hard to implement the cap and trade legislation through the regulatory process.
Because they think
they can do it.
Because the EPA has now identified and labeled and regulated, I guess, carbon as a CO2 as a dangerous gas.
Yep, that's right.
That's what they'll do. See, with Kyoto Copenhagen kind of falling apart and the election year, you're exactly right. That's exactly what's going to happen. Before we wrap up, let's talk about the card check bill. This is the pro-union card check bill. Tell the audience what it's going to do.
Well, it'll allow a union to organize a small business owner, their business, without their involvement in the process or even knowledge that it's happening. It's the union's top legislative priority. They want it. They want it because private sector union membership has been plummeting for the last 30 years.
It's basically going to remove from the organization process one of the foundation keystones, one of the keystones of the foundation of the American system, and that's the private ballot.
That's exactly right.
The secret ballot.
That's exactly right.
That's what they're going to do, right? Take it away. Some organizer will be able to walk up to one of your employees, stick a ballot in their hand, and say, organize or not, which one?
Yep.
And they'll have to tell them in front of them.
That's exactly right.
And that's going to be a law, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to make that a law if they pass this. I don't think that's a good idea, Brad.
No, it's awful. I mean, they talk about going right to the heart of the free enterprise system. Our members tell us if this happens to them, they're just going to shut down.
Now, tie that in with this construction thing you mentioned earlier on the health care.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a blatant power grab for big labor. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, how do they grow their unions?
Have you also heard that the administration is talking about, or maybe some legislators are talking about, allowing the TSA to organize?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
They're talking about allowing the transportation, whatever the acronym stands for, TSA, the folks who screen at the airports, allowing them to organize.
You know, coming from the administration, that makes absolute sense, because when you look at union growth over the last couple decades, it's the public sector unions that are growing like crazy.
Do you think the card check bill has a chance in 2010?
I think the votes are not there for it right now, and I think that's going to be hard, but what we are concerned about is a push for a watered-down version, which would be just as bad for small business, but also that the administration might try to do what they're doing with carbon through the EPA, which is try and get the Labor Department to implement card check through the
So we've got three camel noses, right? We've got the watered-down health care, so-called health care reform bill.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the CO2 is a dangerous gas by regulatory, not by law. That's a camel's nose under the tent. And then we got this other thing with the cap and trade, with the card check bill, which will be a watered-down version, which will be a camel's nose under a tent.
That's right, Jim.
Little bitty baby steps, right?
Yeah. At the end of 2 years.
We got to stop that. I know you guys are working hard on it. Hey, Brad, thanks for being here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Jim.
Brad Close, ladies and gentlemen, with the NFIB. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back after the news. Happy New Year.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.